Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, A Podcast Story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 745. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, the whole Gamertag Radio crew is in the house. In the house, of course. We have Pete in the house. What's up, Pete?
Good morning, sirs. How are ya?
Good, man. What's up with you?
I'm all right, man. Doing all right. Had a long night last night. Stayed up. Played probably 7 hours of PUBG yesterday all day long, and it was fantastic.
You know, I was playing now for the past few days, Fortnite. Been playing that nonstop, console and iOS. It's very addicting. Now I can see why people are playing this nonstop, man. So loving it, man. I'm in level 21, I think, now. So that's good. Also joining us, Mr. Paris.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, Paris?
How is everyone today?
Good, man. What's up with you?
I'm good. Good. I've actually not played a lot of games this week. Been busy with work and other things, but so far so good. I guess I will say, because people on camera can probably actually see it behind me, Logitech sent me over their new G560 desktop audio speakers. Does DTS X sound and has the RGB lighting that you can sync up with your game. And they also have a new keyboard coming out, the G513 as well. So I've literally not taken either out of the box yet. They're right behind me. So I'll be doing that here pretty soon and giving my overall thoughts on them.
Nice. A lot of games coming out this week, man. There's the Sea of Thieves, I believe, the baseball game, right, from MLB, the show. That's coming out, I think, next week. And also another game, too, from EA.
Hey, might have some thoughts on MLB the show as well. You never know.
Ooh, that's good, man. That's good. It's good. All right, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us other places. You go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe, review us, spread the word about the show, and so on.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so let's start the show, man. Splinter Cell, is it going to be announced this year? Maybe during E3? This has been rumors about this because it was on Amazon. It was listed there. It was removed a couple of days ago. This just came out of nowhere. I'm surprised about it, but Paris, I know you've been talking about this now for a couple of years, Splinter Cell. Do you think this is the right time to announce Splinter Cell?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've not had a Splinter Cell since Blacklist in 2013, correct?
Yep.
Right? So, yeah, five years. It's time. I actually thought this could have happened last year, but when you really look at Ubisoft's AAA lineup, I mean, last year wouldn't have worked. I mean, Assassin's Creed was obviously big for them. And then, you know, they had Ghost Recon earlier in the year. So if you kind of look at the gap right now, we got Far Cry 5 about to come out. And we have no idea what they're going to have ready for the holiday. So unless they're going to rush Watch Dogs 3, the timeline sets up that they have a AAA game that they need to slip into that holiday lineup. So why not Splinter Cell? you guys know I'm all for it. I love Splinter Cell. And if they bring Michael Ironside back to be Sam, let's do it. I mean, I think what Ubisoft has done with their more open world games, like I told you this offline, Danny, I would love to see them make an open world-ish Splinter Cell game where you can basically go in, attack any situation, you know, you're not on just a set story path. You can basically tackle any situation whenever you want in the game, right? And I would love to see them on the multiplayer side. Could you imagine some open world type spy versus merc mode with Splinters? Oh my God.
Like a non-linear sandbox experience.
Exactly.
You're just free and open to do whatever and tackle however it is.
Thank you for cutting me off. I wasn't finished, but go ahead.
Go ahead then. Apologies, sir. I apologize. Go right ahead.
No, please continue.
I thought you was done. No, my only concern with something like that is it takes away from a narrative or a storyline for a game like that, right? Because it's a spy / thriller game in the vein of Splinter Cell. You just don't know everything out at the beginning, right? Like everything is a path of uncovering clues till you get to your next objective. I just don't know. It might be a little bit more difficult than say something like The Witcher as an open world experience where, you have everything to explore. And I don't know, you would have to have a very, very broad or expansive objective or story before you could jump in and do something like that. Not to say it can't be done. I just think it would just be a little more difficult for me.
Well, I mean, like you're saying, let's just take The Witcher as an example, being a big open world game. There's the main story, which is very linear, that you're attacking, on a set objective to finish the main story of The Witcher. But the secret sauce in that is all the side stuff that you can do. So, again, we're completely speculating here. We have no idea what they would do for Splinter Cell. But if they were to do some type of open world type Splinter Cell, what you do is you have your main story that, yeah, you could probably blow through in, 12 to 15 hours. But then you have all these, these, lack of a better term, black ops missions that you can go do, these side missions that don't necessarily pertain to the main story. And that's what you can just attack in a non-linear fashion. Then you throw some co-op into that as well. And that just opens up the sandbox even more and, make Splinter Cell more RPG-ish so that my Sam Fisher isn't necessarily the same as your Sam Fisher, especially in a co-op thing where you can basically have various loadouts to attack situations in a different way. And then, like I said, with the multiplayer stuff, spy versus merc, let's just take that to the next level because, I go back to Pandora tomorrow. To me, one of the best multiplayer modes ever made, man. I mean, just... Oh my God, I had so much fun playing that back in the day. And then, iterated on that, going into Chaos Theory, on and on. But I'm ready for more, Sam. I'm ready for more Splinter Cell. It's time. So I really hope this is true. I would guess if this is going to happen, maybe this gets announced next month, right before E3, or do they hold it for a surprise at E3 and then say, oh, it's out in November or something like that. I would love to see it.
Now, I'm a little bit worried. I was thinking about this the day. There's a lot of games, man. Big AAA games coming out this holiday. Should Ubisoft release this game this year, save it for early next year, or maybe next holiday, or what?
No. I mean, you got to think. Again, knock on wood, The Division 2 is probably coming out for them early next year, spring of next year. So they're not going to want to compete with themselves. And like I was saying before, what else does Ubisoft have this holiday? They're not going to skip this holiday. Far Cry 5 is not going to be the only game they have in 2018. They're going to have something else.
Yeah, and it's been 4 or 5 years since the last one came out.
Yeah, 2013. So
plenty of time for development time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what if they announced The Division for this holiday season? Do you think that it's smart for Ubisoft to announce something?
I personally think The Division coming out this year seems a tad rushed, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I would hope not.
Says who, though? We don't know how long they've been working on this.
You said, why spend that much money? Why spend that much time developing Splinter Cell and that little amount of time developing Division 2? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, why would you go there? Why spend 5 years on Splinter Cell, but only 2 years on the follow-up for The Division?
Again, we don't know that, Paris. We don't know that, Pete. We don't know how long they've been working on this game.
We know that it's been March 2016. So unless you're telling me, hey, let's put out the first Division, but we've been working on its sequel a year before that. That doesn't make sense.
I personally think that the game, I think the Division is coming out this year based on...
I think
on,
you're reaching.
Really?
Yeah, because your argument is that they've been working on it longer than 2 years. As we sit here right now, even if the day they launched the Division, they're like, oh, they started Division 2, it's only been 2 years. Do you really want another Destiny 2 situation right now? I think Ubisoft is a little smarter than that. Why would they rush that out? If I'm wrong, God bless me, I'm wrong. I will fully admit it if it winds up coming out this year. But as a gamer, as someone who wants that IP to succeed, take your time. I don't need it in 2018. Give it to me in 2019.
I agree with you about taking your time, right? But the thing is, I feel like now a lot of the companies, a lot of video game companies, that whole release it later type thing, it's getting too old school. And the new marketing that a lot of companies are going to start doing is releasing games the year that they announce, the year they announce it. I see that happening too a lot, man. Let's say, we talked about this the last episode, Halo 6, they announce it, comes out in a couple months. The Division just got announced, is coming out the end of this year, hopefully. You know, that's what I think. But I see more and more companies are doing that. Bethesda started doing that, you know, for a couple years now. During E3, they announced a game, comes out the same year. So I think it's smart, man. I think that's smart. And it's a new way to start now on announcing games and releasing the same year, because this whole...
You're taking the argument somewhere else, though. This is not what we're talking about. No one's disputing, hey, yeah, it's great to do a shorter marketing window. What I'm saying is, for the health of the Division 2, just like 2 years ago when I was like, man, where the hell is the end game for this thing? If they don't have enough content in the end game for the Division 2, we will all be yelling and screaming by the end of 2018, why the hell did you put this game out so early? Take your time.
Okay.
Because that's what everyone's saying to Bungie right now. So I would say the same thing to Massive. Take your time. I'm not asking for Division 2 right now. So with that said, why wouldn't you wait? That's my point. Forget the marketing. We ain't talking about marketing right now. We're talking about the health of the game.
The health of the game. Okay, so let me ask you this. Again, what if the game is coming out this year? Let's just say at E3 we sit down and we're watching the press conference that says holiday of 2018. What is the things that you would like to see based on it's coming out this year that's going to change your mind of the things that you're saying right now?
I tell you this, you would have to take every mode and every in-game feature that you currently have in the Division, and those are just there day one for the Division 2, number one. I would need to see another environment as big, if not bigger, than what they currently have in New York, be it they go to Chicago or wherever they might wind up going. And I want to see a realistic roadmap for content that we can expect 18 months post-launch. That's what I'd want to see. You know, if they would be that aggressive and to put it out this year, I'd be like, okay, show me, prove me. But I'll tell you this, I will be ultra critical of that game because I would think this is too soon and I've been burned already. A year ago this time, you know where I was on the hype train. I was choo-chooing down the Bungie Road. You know what I'm saying? And here I am now where it's a freaking wasteland where no one's playing the game right now and they're scrambling to try and fix it in time, you know, to get people to come back. So I don't want that for the Division 2. I want the Division 2 to be everything that Massive and Ubisoft would hope it would be day one. Take all these lessons learned that you've done the past 2 years and make sure that they're all there day one. That's all.
And let's think about it. The two main studios that worked on Splinter Cell was Toronto and Montreal. Montreal has been stomped with between Far Cry 5 and Assassin's Creed. Toronto's been working on Far Cry 5 along with Montreal, as well as Rainbow Six content. I mean, unless they move that away to a different studio altogether, Montreal and Toronto have been the two studios that have done the most work consecutively on all of the Tom Clancy titles. Why would you take that away from the team that's already got experience working on that? Danny, not to say you're wrong, because right now we're all just grasping at straws and wondering. We're all speculating.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But
yeah.
The it's just the evidence to support it is a little bit stronger for them saying, you know, it's more unlikely for us to see that. Just saying.
We'll see at E3.
Well, yeah. let's go back to the original topic of this being Splinter Cell. To me, it would be a more logical to drop in a game we haven't seen in 5 years versus dropping in a sequel to a game that's only been out at that point 2.5 years. So I lean more towards the Splinter Cell thing being true versus the Division 2 actually coming out in 2018. Look, either way, I will pick up either said title if it comes out this holiday. That isn't the issue here. But I definitely would be more excited to see Splinter Cell come back, because that's a franchise going back to the original Xbox days that I just absolutely loved. I will argue to this day, Chaos Theory is one of the best stealth games we've ever seen. I absolutely love that game. And I'm sure it doesn't hold up now, but you know, to be able to, if they've truly taken their time, if we find out that, yep, we've been working on this since 2014 and here it comes out, they've had 4 years of development time with Splinter Cell, that would make me very happy to see. And I would just be very curious to see what they would do on the co-op and then on the multiplayer side with it.
When the first game was announced back in the early days during the OG Xbox, how hype were you, man? Like, were you extremely curious about the game, or what was it that got you excited? Was it because of the stealth, the way how it is, the graphics? What was it from back then?
If you remember, OXM, you know the was that original Xbox magazine, whatever the hell it was called, they had that Splinter Cell demo in the magazine.
Oh yeah, remember? The disc.
That's what got me. Yes. I played that demo and I was like, holy beep! Oh my god, I've never played anything like this before. This is amazing. I can't wait till this comes out. So that was, look, kids, that was old school. There wasn't all this digital download stuff. You had to go to the damn store and get a magazine and conveniently take the disc out of the magazine and go home and play it. That's what you had to do back then.
And not buy the magazine.
But let me tell you, the graphics at that time for the original Xbox, dude, that was like ahead of his time. I was like, whoa, this graphic looks amazing for the OG Xbox, man. It was good. Really good. It looked real, especially when you're playing it at night, like the game, like at nighttime and stuff. It's really cool. A lot of memories, man. By the way, man, Toys R Us, man, Toys R Us is closing. God.
Yeah, rest in peace.
That sucks.
Hey, because you guys are in Florida, I can't remember if, I don't know if you had it down in South Florida or not, but did you guys have Lionel's Play World?
Hell yeah, Lionel Play World.
Oh, dude, that absolutely was the OG. That was my favorite. Used to go. I didn't go to Toys R Us. I went to Lionel Play World.
Man. Yeah, Lionel Play World was the OG. That was the OG toy store, man. Oh, yeah.
I've been checking online to see if there's any like discounts or anything. You know, usually it happens when a retail store is closing. So I found out that if you plan to buy a Nintendo Switch, I think this is the perfect time to go to Toys R Us. 10% off. You get it for $269. Hey, it's better than paying $299, right? So be on the lookout. Toys R Us is closing. So once it gets closer to like the final days, we're probably going to see more discounts, man. So let's take advantage of that, man. A lot of great deals, man.
But at that point, there's going to be slim pickings, right? It's going to be like,
like
Barbie's Horse Adventures on PC. You know, there's going to be like 32 copies of it. And nobody can be picking
just in case, you know, but be on the lookout. And, you know, for those who are listening, let us know. You know, we have a channel, Discord, about deals and stuff. So, yeah, let us know there, man. Definitely, man. All right, Pete, this is for you, man. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered. Listing spotted. Do you think this is going to be available like a package with Black Ops 2, like similar to what happened to the last game, where you buy the last Call of Duty and you get Modern Warfare, the first one, remastered?
I wouldn't be surprised, and I wouldn't also be surprised if they just split it off, right? Because, I mean, it's going to be a, what, $20, $25 buy-in?
Actually, yeah, $20.
Yeah, $20, $25. You're better off on a digital download experience like that. Just quick jump in. Download it. I don't see it being any much larger than anything else. I'm kind of stuck on the whole remastered world. I've said this in the past. I'm the type of person, once I've played the game, I never go back, right? I don't know. I'm kind of torn with something like this. Modern Warfare 2 Remastered was fantastic. I remember me and Paris bumping into each other in LA, right by Roscoe's, going to the release event for this.
For Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah, for Modern Warfare 2.
Wait, so were you – did you went to the first one too? Or
no, I didn't go to the first one. I went to the second one. That's when I met up with Paris, Haley Bright, and Rob from CoinOp TV were there. That's when I formally met some of the devs that I had been playing with online in the past. And actually finally got to do that face-to-face handshake and nice to meet you type stuff, and still remain friends to this day. But yeah, I'm kind of torn because I don't have a big desire to go back to a game like that, regardless of whether it's multiplayer or single player. The only one that honestly that I've done consistently for, or I did more than once, was Bioshock Infinite. Right. So I don't know if I would want to go back and play Modern Warfare 2 Remastered. I mean, there's just, and again, dude, it's 2018. There's so many titles worthy of a playthrough right now. I mean, hell, I still need to finish Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, I agree with that too, Pete. But the thing is too, remember, there's gamers out there that maybe this is for them. $19. It's instead of paying $60 for a game, they could go back, play these old school games, or maybe have it available Game Pass or PlayStation Now, rent it. You know, I think that's also another way too. But I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, remember, there's always going to be an audience that just loves to play old games.
No. I get that 100%. 100% agree. Yeah. There's people who want to play it because either A, they never got a chance to play it back then, or they weren't playing games at that time, or their parents wouldn't let them, because obviously this is the one with no Russian, if I'm not mistaken, right? The infamous, you know, no Russian level.
Wait, was it Modern Warfare 2?
Yeah, it was 2.
I believe so.
Yeah,
that was 2.
Yeah.
So, talking about the airport scene, right?
Yeah.
The airport scene.
Yeah, that's 2.
Knowing that and the whole thing that's been going around lately, I'm curious if they'll leave that in the game.
No, that is going to stay there. It's part of the game. They're not going to change that. They're not going to remove that. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Do you think so, Paris? Do you think they're going to remove that? I don't think so.
At this point, that would be kind of, the original game is still out there and still playable with that scene in it. Now, here's what they wouldn't do. They obviously wouldn't highlight that in whatever the marketing would be for the remaster. It's in there.
Oh, no.
But they're not going to talk about it. I mean, it's a part of history at this point. So, yeah, they're not going to take it out.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next question here. Next topic. I know. Well, this is interesting because, look, I'm one of those people that really don't care much about this, but I think it's important, I think, to talk about it because there's probably people that just love this type of thing. But Far Cry 5, it comes out in a couple of days. This one, the Xbox One X version, is going to be running 1800p resolution on Xbox One X and offers improved frame rate. And the reason how we found out about this is because it was a Best Buy that put it like some details during the, I think, on the deluxe edition and stuff. But, you know, Pete, we played the PlayStation 4 Pro version and I don't see any, I mean, maybe you, I haven't seen any difference like when it comes to that. But what are your thoughts about that the Xbox One X version? Is it going to have this? It's going to look good for the system. But
I'm just curious if 1800p was like a mistype.
No.
Because I get it. 2160 is 4K because it's 1080, 1800. 2160 is the 4K native, is the 4K resolution. So that's why I'm curious if somebody just hit 1800 instead of 1080.
No. A lot of these games are doing 1800p. And If I can go on a mini rant for just a second.
Oh, this is where, this is ding, where, ding, ding.
This is where, if you go back, a year, 18 months, or however long it's been, I even said at that point, is the Xbox One X a mistake? In this sense, in my opinion, PlayStation, Sony had the smarter and more efficient move doing the Pro. They basically do the same damn thing. Neither one of them are truly doing 2160p native on these bigger AAA games. Neither one of them are doing 2160p and 60 frames per second. So when you're doing some kind of upscale, regardless how, you know, what is the tech call that they're doing? I forget. Doesn't matter. But they're doing some type of upscaling mm-hmm. from, they're not running it at native. They're going from a lower resolution to up-resing it to 2160p. It looks great on your screen regardless. Hell, I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn lately. That ain't native 2160p, but I'll be damned if it don't look fantastic, right? Not saying that Far Cry 5 on Xbox One X won't look fantastic. A lot of these games are going to look fantastic on both systems.
Right.
But that's where I go back into Xbox One X is $500. The marketing said true 4K gaming and all that. And Danny, as you love to say, and as our fearless leader in the White House says, it's fake news, you know? It's not the truth. So this has nothing to do with Far Cry 5 as a whole. I mean, look, better frame rate and all that is great. I love some of the remasters that they've done of games and, you know, the enhancements to, you know, to get them up to a higher resolution and fix some frame rate and other, you know, sync issues that these games had previously. But, and again, the Xbox One X is a fantastic piece of hardware. But the question you have to ask yourself is, did we really need it? Did we? Because it's not doing what they said. That's all.
Well, there's no resolution listed for the PlayStation 4 Pro version, so
it's probably 1440p and it's upscaled to 2060p.
What? No, but I'm saying, you know, it looks like you're calling out Xbox One X, but
I said they both PlayStation. I said they both.
I know, but right now you've been talking more about Xbox One X.
Why? Because PlayStation never touted true 4K gaming. They just said they were going to give you 4K gaming. They didn't say how the hell they were going to get there. They just said they were going to do it. Whereas Microsoft, in their specific marketing, always said that this was mm-hmm. going to be true native 4K gaming. And as we see with a big AAA game like Far Cry 5, it's not. That's all I'm saying.
But here's the difference between Paris. I'm not defending Xbox or anything like that. But this is real talk. Let's talk about this, man. Because you're mentioning a lot about Xbox and PlayStation, but this version, there's no information about PlayStation 4, so it looks like this is going to have lower resolution.
I need to pause you on that one, Danny. I'm going to pause you on that one because
I'm reading based on the article.
I get it. I'm just saying, I'm on Best Buy's website right now while you guys were talking about it, and under features, supports PlayStation 4 Pro now featuring 4K resolution.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know if that's more marketing materials. I don't know or recall Ubisoft ever mm-hmm. saying whether there was an actual console or platform preference with regards mm-hmm. to marketing on this. But again, and this actually foreshadows, this was foreshadowed back in the original Xbox One days when they did the whole, 1080 was the high definition preferred resolution, but they were doing 900p. It's not the complete full gamut of pixels or resolution in your package. Now, going back to what Paris was saying, they've been waving the banner of 4K gaming, but unfortunately it comes with a caveat. First party titles get the 4K native treatment. Everything else depends on what agreement the developer/publisher and Xbox get to make separate and aside. You know what I mean? So does that mean that maybe Microsoft maybe pulled the used car salesman okie doke on people saying, oh yeah, it's true 4K, but you have to hit certain check boxes before you qualify, to go down the 4K box. I don't know.
That's more of the developer side from third party companies.
That box is not capable of doing what it says. That's all I'm saying.
For specific titles.
I mean, we've seen it with The Witcher. We've seen it with Call of Duty. We've seen it with multiple third party games. It all depends on the third party developers. It's not Xbox. It's not Sony. It's third party. Maybe they'll add that feature later too. That's possible too.
Why is CD Projekt Red saying, okay, yeah, we'll let you do 4K on Xbox, but why wouldn't Ubisoft saying, okay, here's an extra, 360
pixels? I
don't know.
You ask them. We've been to multiple events. You could ask.
We know the console can handle it. Why don't these publishers open up the pocketbook and say, okay, here's a couple extra dollars for the extra 360 pixels so we can get 2160 as opposed to only giving me 1800.
I don't know. I'm not a developer. I can't really answer that question. I don't know, man.
Answer these questions, you know, Danny.
You know, this is not a what-if situation because, look, I don't know jack about developing games, man. I'm just going based on what people have been posting online. That's it, man. You know, but, I mean, look, at the end of the day, it doesn't really freaking matter, man. I play these games 4K, HD, 720, who cares? It's still fun. Still fun. So, it's just a conversation. I just like to bother you guys anyways.
Speaking on Far Cry 5.
Right. Yeah, right.
Obviously, we've done some stuff with Far Cry 5. We're all looking forward to it. Where are you guys picking it up on? Like, what platform?
I mean, do you want me to answer that question?
I already know that. It's not on the Switch, so I know you can do an Xbox.
True 4K gaming. True 4K gaming. Come on, man. True 4K gaming. ColecoVision.
What is ColecoVision?
I know is this. If you want the true Far Cry 5 experience, you better pick it up on the Vegeta. That's the only way I know to play it.
Vegeta. Oh, yo, let me tell you, man. Editing that episode, look. If you're listening to this, you're brand new, you start listening to Gamer Tag Radio, please go to episode 744. Listen to that one, man. I was in tears editing that episode. My God. Especially that Vegeta moment. Oh, classic. Classic.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I'm picking it up on Xbox.
Even for that last episode, I had people hit me up on Twitter like, Freaknik, I ain't thought about that in 20 years. Where'd you come with that one from?
Oh, man. Only the old school heads know about that, man.
But to answer the Far Cry 5 question, PC for me. So I can play it in true 4K.
What about you, Pete? You going on PlayStation?
I'd like to play it on it. I definitely want to play it on PC because obviously that's become my go-to platform, you know, for the last, you know, 8 to 10 months now. But there's people that I'd like to play it online with, you know, on the console side, obviously Danny, you know, I've got friends as well on Xbox Live, you know, my friend Funk, he's all in on the Xbox, you know, bandwagon. So I'd like to get both.
Now, I know you mentioned about this whole multiplayer thing. Are you guys still worried about that situation that people have been talking about? Let's say the person is hosting, that's the person that's gonna unlock like certain parts of the story. If there's like a second person joins in online,
progression following.
Yeah, what are your thoughts about that? So we could, you know, talk a little bit about that and keep on going. You still worry about that? Don't care anymore, or what?
I don't know.
Okay,
you know what I mean. I don't know. I'm still. It all depends on how much I actually, you know, do co-op of. And how far I am. If I actually beat the entire game, like, I wouldn't care as much if I'm doing dual platform. If I'm playing it on PC and I'm doing a single player experience all by myself, and I do, let's say, co-op only when I'm playing on Xbox, I don't care because I've actually gotten the full single player campaign experience on my own, and co-op is only being done with friends. And whether I actually get all that progression on my Xbox, I really don't care at that point because I've already played the game. You know what I mean?
What about you, Paris?
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally, the co-op stuff and all that is just extra for me, so I'm not too concerned by it. I mean, I'm more focused on just going into the sandbox, you know, single player and just doing it that way. I mean, if down the road, you know, some co-op options happen, you know, that's fine. I mean, I got enough friends on Uplay. I don't need you, Danny.
Oh, wow. Wow. Don't worry, Paris. I'll be playing on true 4K gaming.
At 1800p.
1800. Oh, man. Pete, let's talk about this, man. There was a big buzz about Fortnite and Twitch a couple days ago, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hip-hop artist Drake playing Fortnite?
Yeah.
Tell us the details about that, man.
So, those that aren't aware, There's a, you know, obviously Drizzy, everybody knows who Drake is, the sixth god from Toronto, OVO Music. Shout out to him. So there's a guy by the, that goes by the name of, Hyper. I'm sorry, not Hyper, Ninja on Twitch. He's got a massive following. Used to play Halo a lot competitively and then transitioned over to Fortnite a little less than a year ago. He huge following, regularly gets like 100,000, you know, viewers concurrently, consistently on his channel while streaming. Apparently they had been talking, you know, on back channels about trying to get online and play, you know, play Fortnite together. So they finally got it to happen. They finally, you know, got, you know, everything it needed to get themselves. They were having some issues with in-game audio because I think he was playing on PC. Ninja was playing on PC. Drake was playing on PS4. So they couldn't get in-game audio to work. So they had to use Discord over the phone and stuff like that. Long story short, they finally got together. He started playing. All it took was one tweet from Drake and his 37 million followers. And at one point, I actually jumped in when he was at like 500,000 concurrent viewers, and literally in 30-second spans, it was jumping by 10 to 20,000 viewers concurrently at a time. Like by the time I had posted 530, I looked over and he was at 580. And then at one point he got over the 600,000 viewer mark. Then he started, then that's when Drake actually was like, "Hey, I got Travis Scott and Lil Yachty trying to hit me up saying they want to jump in and play." So that's when everybody started going crazy.
Oh, snap.
Remember Kim.com from Mega Upload? At one point, it was just, it was Ninja and Drake. Then Kim.com came online and started playing with them. And then Travis Scott jumped on. They couldn't get Lil Yachty to play because he was having issues. So they actually got Juju Schuster from the Pittsburgh Steelers to jump on. They got rid of Kim.com, and the world exploded at that time. It was, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna give it up to Drake. It was I don't want, it's not, it wasn't bad because he's, you know, he's a regular person just like the rest of us. He just happens to be a rapper and make millions of dollars, but it humanized him for me in my eyes, because hearing him say, "Hey, I've got a bunch of mats here. Let me drop them for you. Hey, check it out. There's a guy Southwest 60, you know, let's get him." It humanized him in my eyes, right? Hearing him actually showing love for the game by doing call outs and actually knowing how to play and not just being thrust into the situation. Like we've seen some celebrities in game promoted games, in the past. So it was really, really cool. And, you know, he was helping out. He was actually playing well. And, you know, it was a good experience. I actually watched it the last two-thirds of the stream. It was pretty good. Actually, it was a struggle the next day because I went to bed at like 3:30 in the morning. But it was kind of worth it. It was worth it.
That's dope.
And it's one thing that is the biggest teller about this. They need to get cross-platform working. That shouldn't be that much of a struggle. We saw how well it was received watching, you know, people on two different platforms. This whole he said she said thing between Xbox and PlayStation and PC has to end. This is the future of video games, especially from a multiplayer aspect. Just unlock the shackles. Let it be free. Let it happen. This is the result of that. You don't see anything bad with it. It can't go wrong. And shout out to Fortnite or shout out to Epic, you know, because if not for that, you know, they've been the flag bearers for the last year of this, them and Psyonix with Rocket League. You know, shout out to both of them.
Yeah. You guys been, I don't know if you guys watched my stream that was playing Fortnite iOS. I was playing using my iPad Pro. And dude, I got super addicted to Fortnite now for the past few days. We used to play this, P, right? When it first came out, but it was for the, we were playing a lot of the campaign.
Yeah, we only played the single player part of it. We didn't play any of the Battle Royale.
I played the Battle Royale, like when it came out, I was like, "Oh, let me check it out." You know, cause it was during the time PUBG was still on top and all that. Right. but it was so buggy and slow, and sometimes I'll get kicked off from the servers. I'm like, I'm not going to play this. So I stopped playing for months. Dude, now I find this super smooth, super fast. I played, solo, squad, with random folks.
On iOS?
And I'm having a blast. I've now been playing a lot on my Xbox iOS. But the thing is, remember, it's crossplay. So every time I play on iOS, I level up my character. Once I go to my Xbox One and play that online, all my stats goes to that one too. So I could share my stats on both sides. So it's freaking dope, man. I've been having a freaking blast, man. Nonstop. So, Paris, anything of this got your attention with the whole Fortnite thing or what?
Yeah, you know, like you mentioned your stream. I was in your stream the other day watching you play, and I had commented in the stream. I was like, jokingly, mm-hmm. I was like, well, goddamn, this is a complete ripoff of PUBG. But the thing about it is, because I've never played Fortnite, literally watching you play was the first time I've truly sat down and watched a match of Fortnite. And yeah, they took a lot of elements from what we saw in the battle royale mode with PUBG. And you know what? They're doing it better. Bottom line. I mean, I think that's the thing that you have to take away from this. They're doing it better. Mm-hmm. And I need to start playing myself. That's all it really comes down to. I'm very happy for Epic. They're doing it the right way. This game has exploded on its own. Like you said, the whole Drake Ninja thing, they didn't pay. That wasn't a marketing scheme. That just organically happened. Mm-hmm. And it just put even more buzz onto that game. I was obviously a big skeptic of this iOS version. I'm like, oh, they're doing it. It's too quick. You're doing it too quick. But then I watched you play and I'm like, you know what? Looks pretty good. I personally probably won't play it on mobile because I don't want to do the touch control thing. I'd rather have a controller in my hand and play it that way. But the point still remains. They have Fortnite running on iOS and it works. And that's just exposing it to more people. Like I was asking you in the stream, I go, well, how did it make money off of this thing if it's free? And then you're explaining you can buy it. Well, you can explain it, but you told me how they did that. And you know what? That works too, because you're not forcing people to buy stuff. Buy it if you want to. If you don't, play the game normally and have fun with it. But yeah, if you want to explain how they make money off of it, go ahead.
Yeah, so just yesterday, I was like, man, because I was playing a lot and I was leveling up, whatever, right? But I wanted to get some extra coins for me to buy extra stuff, you know, to customize my character. And I paid $10, $10 for the season. And now my character is leveling up a lot faster. But here's the thing. The good thing about this is that, you know, it's not like Epic is not forcing you, right? And it's not like I'm adding more weapons and my weapons are stronger than yours based on the money that I purchased and stuff. That doesn't matter. It's just a way for you if you want to unlock extra items and stuff for your character. You know, you don't need to do that. You could strictly play this free the whole time and you're good. So, but actually the other day, yesterday, I was the number one player in one of the matches, man. I finally went to the last match. It was only like three players available, and I killed them at the end, man. And I won my first game, so that was my first win. I was proud. I haven't done that yet with PUBG, man, but I was very excited. I took some pictures, videos, posted online. Everything was cool. Now here's the thing: it plays great. Mobile devices, right? iPad and everything. Dude, this is like the perfect time for a Nintendo Switch version to come out, man. Epic, please release this game. Please announce it at E3. Available now to download. That would be freaking awesome, man. Imagine this game available for the Switch. Oh my God. Amazing. So, all right. And it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, P. So I'm gonna read this first question before we play this voicemail.
You asked me if I'm ready, and then you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna."
No, you can set it up. No, you can set it up. Have it ready. No, I'm serious. Like, have it ready.
I'm ready to go, man. I'm all ready to go.
All right, but hold on tight. Remember, we have emails. All right, so this is from David. He's from Orlando, Florida. Shout out to David. He said, "What's up, Gamertag Radio crew?" Floyd Mayweather just officially announced that he's making his own boxing game. My question is, with EA neglecting Fight Night for almost 8 years, man, it's been 8 years? That's a long time. Do you think a boxing game with Floyd on the cover will it do better than the UFC games? Also, no. What would a Floyd what? No? Well, let me finish this. Also, what would a Floyd Mayweather deal look like? Do you think 2K will publish the game? Knockout Kings was a franchise that got me into gaming, so I'm super excited for the possibility of a new boxing sim. Love the show, guys. Keep up the great work. Your thoughts, guys?
No, I don't think this would be a huge success. I think boxing as a whole, while it's still the quote unquote sweet science, most people have moved over to mixed martial arts as their preferred professional fighting platform, right? So translate that to video games. I don't really see, especially with Floyd Mayweather and just his own personal issues and things. To me, he's not a cover athlete that people are going, oh man, Floyd's on the cover, I got to go get that. I mean, I don't know. It's not something that intrigues me, something I would go pick up. Let's put it that way. I'll just speak for myself. I would still prefer to get a UFC game over a boxing game at this point. Boxing just doesn't have a place in my entertainment. Let's put it this way. The only reason I watched Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor was because it was Conor McGregor. I didn't watch it because it was Floyd Mayweather. Let's put it that way.
Your thoughts, Pete?
I agree. Not to say that boxing has gone the way of the dodo, but in 2017, hell, even if it was 2016, MMA has supplanted boxing as the preferred combat sport. The youth of today, or the demographic in gaming, really isn't the same demographic for boxing. Boxing is typically a sport that you would see relegated to probably our parents or maybe our brothers and cousins of the same age, right? And maybe those that have a preference towards martial arts, like myself. I have a preference towards martial arts because I have a martial arts background. So I prefer that versus boxing. Not to say I didn't enjoy boxing. Not to say I didn't love watching Tyson's run through boxing as I grew up. But MMA had more appeal towards, has more appeal to me and to most of, combat sport, viewers in general or fans. And like Paris said, Floyd Mayweather has too many skeletons in his closet for you to want to put him as your cover artist. EA doesn't want to put that connotation of associating themselves with someone who has had the legal troubles, whether it's via tax or assaults or attempted rape charges. That's not something that EA wants to associate and brand themselves with. Would a boxing game be successful, or could a boxing game be successful? I don't know. Knockout Kings was fun. Fight Night was great for its time period. MMA was still on the rise during those times, and which is why those succeeded. But until someone else in boxing can come up with the right kind of persona. I would love to see a boxing game, because I think, somebody like Triple G or something like that might be someone you could potentially put on there. You can't do Canelo, because Canelo, I think, just got busted with a PED charge. Mm-hmm. So after Canelo, the only other person that could possibly bring that kind of cachet or brand would be Triple G, but I don't think he's that well known, or he's enough to try to be a cover sport, a cover athlete for a boxing game. Unfortunately, I just don't think it's in the cards. I think it's something, and Floyd's probably got enough money that he could support it himself. But as we've all known, Money Mayweather isn't about spending money. He's more about making money. While he might understand that it takes money to make money, I don't think it's something that he wants to go in, and I don't think he has the experience or know-how in, or what it would take to actually develop a successful video game like that.
You know what? He's all about money, right? And that's why I think he's going to do a mobile game version where he can make a lot of money easier than releasing it to consoles and PC. That's what I think, but maybe might be wrong, so we'll see. All right, so this is another email. This is from Jack. Hey, GTR crew. I was recently reading an article online about Bethesda in the article, it said that they have been working on two projects with 2018, and Elder Scrolls series is not one of them. Do you think we will get another Fallout or Doom game so soon? Or do you think it's two new games? Hope to hear your opinions. Keep up the great work. Jack. Thanks, Jack.
That's
thoughts?
I don't think we're going to get either of those. I mean, Fallout 4 just came out, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Bethesda doesn't really iterate year after year, unlike some other developer publishers. Doom just came out a year ago. Fallout. Doom was 2 years ago. I don't know. I think they've got, I just don't think it's something that we'll see.
Paris, I know you mentioned about this a couple of days ago too.
Yeah, I'm able to say we kind of already talked about this a little bit. I don't think either would be in 2018 for basically everything that we just said. If Bethesda has something cooking, it's probably a new IP, I would imagine, at this point, because they've already eliminated Elder Scrolls. It's too early for Fallout, and I think it's... I'm going to backtrack a little bit. Doom is possible. Enough time has passed that I could see a Doom sequel, and Doom did have a pretty decent run. I don't know if it had a big enough run that they're going to try and stick it in a holiday launch window. I think it's better served to still come out, you know, like in a May timeframe, summer timeframe. I think it'd have more legs that way. So I would, if I had to choose between the two, I would lean more towards Doom, but ultimately I don't think it'll be either one.
Okay. So let's play this voicemail, Pete.
Hey guys, Cole from Pennsylvania. Wanted to call and get just some commentary and opinion about first party marketing schemes for first party games, i.e., you know, your major Microsoft or Sony titles. Now I want to use the pending Halo 6 announcement as the example for my question. So I know an episode or two ago, you guys were all pretty convinced that probably at this E3, Microsoft is going to talk about Halo 6, and we will probably, or you guys think we'll probably see a fall release of Halo 6. I definitely agree that it's probably going to be announced. My question to you is, that's a pretty short window to market a game. As we see marketing strategies change as time goes on and social media and things really become the bread and butter for marketing, can companies comfortably get away with a short marketing period like that? I ask, and I use Halo as an example, because if we look back at the last major Halo titles, specifically 4 and 5, 343 had about a 10 to 12 month campaign period that included all kinds of supporting media, whether that was comics, novels, the little Hunt the Truth podcast storytelling they did prior to Halo 5, as well as little TV series that they did with Exploring Spartan Locke. Not to mention they did betas well in advance before the game launched. So my question is, going forward with big, major, money-making titles like a Halo for Microsoft, are we going to see this where a company like 343 keeps it well under wraps and then sprinkled on us really quickly? I have a hard time believing it's going to release this fall, because I feel like at this point we would know about the game. Less than 10, 11 months away, if they want to do a serious beta that's actually going to impact the game, I feel like that would already have happened or be happening now. I could be totally wrong. As a Halo fan, I would love for the next title to come out this fall, but I don't know that I see it as it pertains to just marketing plans. And I know Microsoft drives that ship when it comes to Halo. But anyway, just want to hear your guys' thoughts. I thought it was interesting that you all were talking about that title specifically a couple of episodes back. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thoughts on your voicemail on the voicemail from Cole?
Well, I get and thank you for the voicemail. I know he's a contender with San Diego and Keon now, but I get his points. I get his points. And when I listened to it last night, I was thinking, you know, he makes a valid argument as to why Microsoft wouldn't do a condensed, you know, announcement and then, oh, it's out in October, as an example, because in the big thing that he pointed out was the beta. We obviously know that Halo's multiplayer is one of the big selling points to people playing the franchise long term. and they're going to want to get it right. They're not going to want to screw around with it and have a bunch of mistakes. So you would think they'd have some type of beta prior to it launching. Now, I'd counter that and say, because we talked about this last week, I believe, they could potentially announce a beta at E3 and aggressively put it out over the summer and still have enough time to do some testing with it. Because you got to figure, they've been we're going on an argument that it comes out this year. If it comes out this year, they've already been testing multiplayer. They've had people sign NDAs. They've been doing internal Microsoft Studio tests, etc., for the beta. You could then say, well, now we're going to do an open public beta this summer, you know, tie it to an E3 announcement, creates a big buzz, and you still can get that stress test level, you know, testing going. I sound like an oxymoron, but you can still have a stress test prior to it launching at the end of the September or early October. So I get what he means. It's valid. I could see them wanting to do a longer marketing thing, but at the same time, the Halo name sells. It still has brand power that they don't need a long marketing, you know, campaign to convince people to want to go pick it up. They could announce it next month, have the full reveal at E3 in June, do a beta in July, early August, and still make a launch window by the end of September. And it would make sense. And it would just be them condensing all of their marketing campaign to a big, long summer thing, which I still think is fine, personally. But they would have to be very aggressive in that scenario. And maybe they want to try something different this time. Because, look, let's be honest here. The story of Halo 5 wasn't that great. And it left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. People felt deceived by the marketing campaign that they did for Halo 5. So maybe if you do it in a shorter time frame and you assure people that, look, we're not going to make the mistakes that we made last time with selling you a game that ultimately it's not going to be. What we tell you in the marketing is what the game's going to be. And maybe by doing that and not allowing an extended period of time to change people's minds, you're like, Halo 6 is coming out. It's going to be September 25th. Get ready. Beta in July. Maybe that's all they need. Maybe. I mean,
and another thing too, you forgot to mention Game Pass. That's all you need too, because you don't need to go to the store to buy it. You just subscribe. You have it available there day one. Boom, and buy it. So I would argue, there's a reason.
I would argue against Game Pass in this scenario because it's still too new. That you're not going to have the number. You're not going to have the subscribers that quickly on Game Pass. It's still something that they have to prove. Now, again, like you said, it is a marketing tool that they were throwing in there. Hey, $10 a month, you get Halo 6 in September. Of course they're going to do that. But I don't think at this early stage of Game Pass that it's still going to be the incentive to have that as the forefront of the marketing. The vast majority of people that are going to pick up Halo 6 are probably not going to be Game Pass subscribers.
I mean, personally, I think there's a reason why Microsoft announced that now they will have the first party games available day one on Game Pass. That's the reason why they started announcing that now. Now you could get day one's Sea of Thieves, maybe Forza, Halo. Another thing I want to mention is that this is the right time for Halo to come out, because if the rumors is true that Perfect Dark is coming out, Gears of War next year is coming out, and so on, it will be super confusing to have all those three games out the same year. I personally think it will be pretty dumb to release all three of them at the same time. So it's better to spread it out and have Halo to come out first, Perfect Dark maybe during spring, and then release Gears of War, another shooter, holiday of 2019. That's just my opinion, but maybe we'll see. We'll see what happens next year. But you want to say anything about that, or are you good?
No, I'm good. I get it. Microsoft is the marketing machine, right? That's one of their, aside from software, that's their shtick. But from a marketing perspective, I just don't think or know if Microsoft would like that short window. Provided that the game is ready and good to go, they would. Knowing them, they don't want to have the same faux pas as they've had in games past, especially with their number one IP, especially with their number one go-getter, because Halo 6 is the game changer, if not for Microsoft, for the gaming industry. That's the one that all of a sudden, once there's a Halo announcement, all conversations shift to Microsoft immediately. It's one of those few titles that actually gets that respect. So,
but look at Fallout. It was announced at E3. It was available a couple months after that, and it was a huge success for Bethesda. So why can't Microsoft do the same with Halo? Even Square Enix, they can say right now, Final Fantasy VII Remake is out now at E3. Dude, everybody and their mothers will buy that game. So
not me.
The thing, I'm not saying you, P. I'm talking about the consumers overall.
Everybody and their mother, but not me.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, man? Like, everybody will buy that because now the attention span of people, dude, it's not the same how it used to be back in the days, man. Look, Jay-Z could say, my album is out now, and people will go buy it, right?
Yeah, they said the same thing about Eminem, and we saw what happened with that album.
But that's different. That's because of the quality of the music. It's not because it was announced when it came out. That has nothing to do with that, dude. You know what I'm saying? And another thing, look at Cloverfield, announced during the Super Bowl, and it was out that night, and people went online to Netflix right after the Super Bowl to watch that movie. And yes, it was. Some people thought, you know, that was not the greatest movie out there, right? But for Netflix was a success. So that's why I think that marketing now, when it comes to games, I think is more powerful now in 2018 for a company to say, this game is available now or available a couple months after that, after the announcement. It's a bigger impact than saying, really, you know, announce it this year and release it a year later. It's totally different now, man. Totally different.
I don't know. I don't know. Well, we'll see, because again, we're all doing speculation talk in 2018 right now with regards to this in particular. But you look at something like what Ubisoft just did with Massive, The Division 2. More information 6 months from now. Or it's actually 4 months from now. How is that any different?
Yeah. How is it 4 months from now?
Was it March, April, E3. May,
March,
June?
That's 4 March.
Months. April, May, June. That's 4 months.
Mm-hmm. But it,
yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. All right, so
math is hard. Get Reef to get you to do some tutoring for
but
you.
But here's the thing: what happened at E3? Ubisoft will say, okay, it's available September or October. Let's just say. Do you think that's the thing? It's possible for us to see that, man. As gamers, we'll be like a little bit worried, of course. Like, oh man, is it too soon? But it's possible, man, for us to see that, man, with a lot of the games. Not only Ubisoft, but dude, we probably will see that from Microsoft, from Sony, from Nintendo. They can say, yo, this game is available now, and the crowd will go nuts, and they will buy the product, and it will create a bigger buzz than saying, yeah, it's available next year. It's the same thing. Remember when Shenmue was announced at E3? I went right away and got, you know, I put my money down on Kickstarter because I was just excited at that moment, you know? So I think marketing is changing when it comes to games. Bethesda has been doing a great job with it now for the past few years, man. Announce a game, release it a couple months after that.
Now,
they could do it. Other people could do it too.
Here's a scenario. And I don't think they will, but I'm going to just throw it out there. Would Microsoft break the holiday release cycle with Halo and drop it into spring 2019? I don't think they will, personally. But what do you think?
I just don't see that. I don't see it. Maybe you're right. That's possible, too. But, okay, what are the chances? Which one would be bigger for you, Paris, as a fan of the franchise? Announce it and release it for spring and release Perfect Dark this holiday season.
They're not doing Perfect Dark this holiday. Come on.
No, I'm just saying, like, what, Paris, we don't know. We don't know. This is all
okay, talk. Okay. Hey, put the jingle. What if?
What if? Which one you prefer? Release Halo first or release Perfect Dark first?
Well, I do not want to see Perfect Dark in 2018 because that just tells me that you're rushing it. Unless, Miss Leo, it's really that Black Tusk game. Unless it's that Black Tusk game. Can I finish? Good Lord. You said what if, and I'm trying to explain myself, and you're like losing your mind.
Yes, I'm losing my mind.
I said, I don't want it in 2018 unless it's really that Black Tusk game that we saw back in 2013. But if we go by rumor and speculation, that's not the case, which means they're just now starting to develop on it, which means it's a rush job. No, if you want to do Perfect Dark right, take your time. Honestly, I don't want to see Perfect Dark till like 2020 personally. But in that scenario, if you put it out now, that's a rush job, in my opinion. Halo next year. Okay, fine. I'm okay with Halo. You can break tradition. I'm fine with that. If they're putting out Halo 6 in spring 2019, I'd be okay with that. That's fine. That means they're going to announce it now. They're going to do proper betas with it. They're going to get community feedback on it. And they're going to do it the right way. I'm also okay with the scenario of it coming out this year if internally they've done enough QA on it. They're changing up the formula and they feel they can hit that marker. I'm okay with a short marketing campaign on it. So in either scenario, I'm fine. Now I'll say this. If Halo 6 was not coming out in the next 12 months, there's a problem. There's a problem with Halo.
Is a June holiday release announcement enough time for them to successfully go through everything? Like, let's say they do that announcement in June, says this holiday Halo 6 coming out. Is that enough time for them to get all of their testing and beta testing and marketing out?
I think so, because I said, that's what I said at the top. I mean, you know, they've been internally testing this game. You know, they've had key community people sign NDAs and have come into the studio to give feedback on what they're doing. That's already happened. That's happening as we speak. So the only thing that they need to do for the public is basically an open stress test. There's enough time over the summer to do that. And we live in a society now, social media, you don't necessarily need long drawn out marketing campaigns. You just don't. They can announce that thing in June and say it comes out in October and just basically posters, billboards, you know, via social media, all that can happen over the summer and the word's going to get out. Matter of fact, you can kick off the NFL season with Halo commercials, right?
Yep.
So
Monday Night Football or something like that.
Yeah. So people are going to know about Halo if it were to come out, you know, this holiday. There's plenty of time with that.
Yeah. And get Conan O'Brien also to play it.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. That, you're good. That's all they need to do, man.
PAX. Now, I mean, think about it. It would be at PAX, right? So people PAX are going to play it at PAX. I mean, there's time. There's plenty of time. Comic-Con. Yeah. It's at Comic-Con. You know, there's plenty of time to have to get the word out about Halo 6. I don't think a June announcement stunts that growth. But again, thank you for the voicemail, because like I said, I was not thinking of it from his point of view, but his point of view makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it does. Even though it was 2.5 minutes.
No, still, it was great. It was still great, man. Now, what are the chances for a game like Forza, instead of releasing in September, release that game November and release Halo September? What are the chances of that happening? Spread it out. And it's not a shooter, it's a racing game, so
it's possible.
The fans are going to buy that.
Yeah? As long as they don't overlap each other, like literally, like as long as they don't do a Battlefield/Titanfall release schedule 1 week after another, it's possible. A swap of a month, I don't think makes that big of a difference.
It does in the sense of Red Dead, because that's the problem. Red Dead is coming out.
Do you think everybody's hedging bets and waiting until they make their announcement so that they don't launch at the same time? Or do you think Halo is big enough to say, you know what, you can launch Red Dead the same month as Halo. We still think it's going to be strong enough.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We know Red Dead is coming October 26th. That has been cemented. So everyone's getting out of the way of that. But like Danny's saying, in the scenario, if you put a Forza in November, Forza is a racing game. That has nothing to do with Red Dead. Those are two different audiences. Mm-hmm. So it's not competing against Red Dead in that scenario. Whereas Halo, let's be real, is most likely competing against Red Dead. So you put it out earlier or you delay it until the spring.
And Call of Duty and Battlefield.
And Call of Duty.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Battlefield is in October?
Rumored. We don't know yet.
Rumored. But it always comes out in October. So
if they stick to the plan, then it's going literally, it's usually like that last week of October, which I think would be crazy to go head to head with Call of Duty's already out. Red Dead's out the same week as Battlefield. No, wouldn't do that. I think that would be a mistake. So I got a feeling Battlefield shifts its launch window as well.
Oof. All right, so we have one more voicemail. Pete, you want to play that?
Yep, on its way.
Hey, what's up, Gamer Tag Radio? I hope you guys are doing great. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just wanted to ask you guys a quick question, and this is in retrospect. Do you guys think that Microsoft actually making their games available on PC was a mistake? Now, I understand as far as a business standpoint, that makes a lot of sense to get your games on as many platforms as you can for the money, because that's where you make your money at. But I have to say, I don't think that was the best move for them to do, because I remember that as soon as that announcement came down the pipe that games on the Xbox were going to be available on PC, that was when this whole ball got to rolling about Microsoft doesn't have any games. Microsoft doesn't have anything exclusive anymore. It's on the PC. Now, granted, us gamers didn't know. We know it's exclusive on the console. But that perception is out there now, and it's out there heavy, you know, as far as Microsoft not having any games. So I just wanted to know, do you think that that hurt the Xbox brand more than helping? PC guys aren't messing with the Windows Store. To my knowledge, it's a debacle over there. It's crazy. So I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on this. As always, I appreciate the show. And Danny, I apologize for calling so much, brother. It's just I really, really enjoy getting you guys' take on these things. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it. You guys take care. Bye-bye.
The man, the myth, the legend, Keon from Baltimore.
Yeah, thanks to Keon, because he sent me, I believe it was like 4 or 5 voicemails, so I had to pick the best one. So I like this one. So, yeah. So thanks to Keon for calling, man. You guys are the PC guys, man. Your thoughts?
Depends on your point of view. It depends on what Microsoft's trying to do. I think if they're trying to sell hardware, it was a mistake, because look at me. I don't have an Xbox because I don't need an Xbox because I can play it on my PC. But then on the flip side, is selling software and brand loyalty more important to them? You know, as far as IPs go, then it wins, because it has someone like me who does not own an Xbox and did not have an Xbox before they said Xbox Play Anywhere, that now I'm still playing Xbox games. I can play Halo. I can play Sea of Thieves, and it's fine. I'm not complaining. You know, I at one point did pick up an Xbox One X, and I did not like the UI, so I said, F this thing, and returned it. But I can still play Xbox games. I can still play Gears 4 and all that. So it just depends on what internally they're trying to do. I think they're just trying to get people into their ecosystem. They really don't care if you have an Xbox or not. If they can get PC gamers to play their games and to get into their ecosystem and into the quote-unquote Xbox community, they win. I mean, that I think that's been the goal from day one. So in that scenario, yeah, the Windows Store needs a lot of work. That they need to fix. They need to fix that. But once that Windows Store is on par with what they're trying to do on the Xbox side, as far as being able to deliver digital content, I don't think it matters. Really, it really doesn't. You know, whether I pick up an Xbox One X or One S or whatever the hell shouldn't matter to Microsoft, because I am still picking up their games. And ultimately, that's the whole point of this, is I'm playing Xbox games, be it the hardware that I play it on should not matter.
Pete?
No, 100% agree with that. I mean, look at me. I'm playing PC. I bought an Xbox One X or an Xbox One S to play PUBG, but I play more. I basically bought that and I've barely touched it. Right. I think it's a great opportunity for them to try to bridge the gap between console and PC market. I personally think it was a mistake. I think there's no overriding decision for me to go get a console if I have an Xbox One. But I understand their viewpoint of, we don't care as long as you're playing something from Microsoft on something that's on a Microsoft platform, whether you're on Xbox One, you know, wild card, doesn't matter if you're on a console or if you're playing on Windows. We just want you playing on the Xbox platform. That's all they care about.
Mm-hmm. Go back go back a few E3s ago when they announced this. Remember, we're at the Galen Center. They announced it. Who messaged me in the Galen Center and said, this, we did this for people like you? That tells me right there they don't care if we buy the hardware. Yeah, they don't care. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't think ultimately it matters. I really don't. I will also say this. The fact that Phil Spencer is now reporting directly to Satya Nadella and has complete autonomy over the entire Microsoft gaming platform, I do think we're going to see more synergy between what they're already doing on Xbox and what they're doing on the Windows side. And that's kind of the point of putting Phil Spencer in the position that he's in right now. You know, you can't, there ain't Thanos. He ain't got the Infinity Gauntlet and snap his finger and it all just magically works. So it's going to take time, but I think the Windows side will catch up to the Xbox side and it will just, it won't matter. You'll just click a button when you're on Windows 10 and it'll all look the same. You know, I think that's where they're headed with this stuff. So I'm fine with it. And look, as much trash as I talked earlier about, oh, Xbox One X, why the hell did they do it? And blah, 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 blah. I think overall what Microsoft has done the past 3 years is fantastic. It's the direction that they need to go. They're basically at a point right now is just get us the games. That's it. All the stuff on the back end, you can see they're fixing that. Things like Game Pass, all that stuff, Xbox Play Anywhere. All these things are great for what Microsoft is doing. I mean, hell, look at, I don't have it in front of me, but even the damn controller, like, you know, the Elite controller, just all the things that they're doing right now, everything is so plug and play with what they're doing. You know, it ain't about the hardware anymore. It's about the service that they're delivering. And the Windows side just has to catch up to the Xbox side on that. And I don't think anyone's going to complain. I think by the time we get to the next iteration of Xbox hardware, the Windows side of it, it'll be virtually identical, I think.
And that's the reason why Phil Spencer been pushing the whole crossplay. He really, really wants to push that a lot. He talks about it on Twitter during interviews because that's their focus now, man. It doesn't matter the hardware. Yeah.
The IPs that they own, they're already doing crossplay. And that's the great thing about it. And that's why, it shouldn't matter if you're on a PlayStation or a Switch or whatever. Mm-hmm. If it works online, why not?
And we said, I talked about this last week, and we talked about it when this first happened back in September, I think it is, when VR originally launched. It's already there. It's a flip of a switch that allows Epic to allow multi, you know, PC, Xbox, you know, PlayStation. They can already do it. The functionality is already there. It's literally a flip of a switch, according to how Epic worded it. It's already there. Just let it happen already.
Yeah.
Stop the divisiveness.
I mean, it works perfectly playing Rocket League using my Nintendo Switch or the Xbox. I could play with PC or vice versa, whatever. And that works perfectly. Fortnite, I play iOS device, playing against PC players, Xbox players, right? And it works perfectly, man. I think it's great, man. Personally, I think it's good because it's a great way for us to meet new gamers that probably don't have a console. Maybe they don't have a PC, but we all play the same game. I think it's cool, man. The community will grow even bigger because of that, man. Business-wise, it's a plus for Epic or for anybody else, man. Look, the story that we were talking about, Drake, he was on his PlayStation 4, right? Ninja was on his PC. And look at the big buzz because of that, man.
Yeah, the marketing boom as a result of that experience, which, like as Paris mentioned, totally organic, wasn't shilled or wasn't, you know, thought about in a boardroom as an advertising or a marketing play. It's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be a success. Obviously, and the only thing at that point that keeps those territories separate is going back to what has been the biggest argument is, as long as you've got your own game catalog within your first party lineup, that's the only deciding factor, right? That's the only thing that's going to cause the sway of direction, you know, of where a consumer is going to go for their gaming. At that point, if I can play, if let's say I'm on PC, Paris is on PS4, and you're on Xbox, and we're all playing Far Cry 5 co-op, tell me that wouldn't be more amazing than anything else.
Well, amazing. It'll be dope. All right, so let's wrap it up here. Thanks for listening to episode 745 here at Gamertag Radio. Make sure to find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. This Wednesday, we're going to have an announcement. Wednesday, during the day or night, we'll see. I'll have to figure it out. We're going to make some changes here at Gamertag Radio, but everything is good, man. Positive is positive, man. Anything else, guys?
Yeah, they're firing me. Fake news. I'm out.
Fake news, yes. Finally. True 4K gaming.
Yes, Far Cry gaming. True Far Cry gaming.
Far Cry. True Far Cry.
We're tired of you, your angry ass. You're out.
Yeah. Vegeta, this is for you. It's all good. All right, so we're out. Until next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.